Good morning, everyone. Welcome each one again to the service this morning. And again, want to extend a special welcome to our visitors. We're glad that everyone's here and able to be here this morning. I've enjoyed the service so far. Neil, thank you for your devotional this morning on Psalm 107. And also, I enjoyed the singing. So, Mark, thank you for leading that. I'd like to read a couple verses from Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And the context here is at the Red Sea. The Israelites had just left Egypt. They're excited. Things are going well. They're headed out. And all of a sudden, they look back and they see the Egyptian army is there. It's right behind them. They're trapped. They're stuck. There's walls on both sides. And there's the Red Sea and the in front of them, and they start to panic, and there's a great clamor that goes up. And this is what Moses says to them in Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I know I've spoke on this verse before, but that contrast, that idea, hold your peace. Just quiet down. Everybody had an opinion about this. People were saying, we should have stayed back. We should do this. You're the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the solution. Moses said, just be silent and let God work. And the title of my devotional this morning is simply Silence. And I'd like to look at some ways that silence is spoken of in the Bible. And it's kind of ironic to me to think that I'm shattering the very thing that I'm talking about as I speak. Usually I try not to go against the things that I'm talking about, but that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm not being silent. But I think that silence is an essential part of a balanced life. And As we see how silence is used in the Bible, there are times that God actually commands us to be silent. And there's a quote that I read a number of years ago that I like. It says, "Silence and smile are two powerful words. Smile is the way to solve many problems, and silence is the way to avoid many problems." In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6, it says, "Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." It's better to be quiet than to have everything that I think I want, but lots of clamor and noise. And that's talking about silence within, a peace, being able to focus on what's important. And sometimes in just the rigor of life and the noise of everything that goes on and the pressure of obligations and responsibility, sometimes it's good to just step back. Maybe a quiet conversation with one person. Maybe a time to go away and eat a bowl of ice cream or drink some coffee, read your Bible. But just to pull back out of the sound a little bit and find peace. The Bible talks about silence along with amazement, with concentration. The story of Saul, when he became Paul there on the road to Damascus, when this light shone down, the voice thundered from heaven, those around him went silent. They were amazed. They were focused on what was happening there. How easy is it to concentrate if you're working on a project, if you have some delicate work that needs to be done, and somebody comes bursting into the room full of noise and action? It's not easy to concentrate. And if we need to concentrate, if we're at a place in our spiritual life that's not good, we need to concentrate. We need some silence. The Bible also speaks of silence as a discipline. In Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. It's not, for some personalities, it's more natural to be silent. For some, it's not. And for those, maybe I should say for those of us, that it's not so natural to just be silent. It's a good discipline. We require it of our children. In times of respect, that there are times that you need to be silent. And it's a discipline that we can enact to ourselves. Maybe there's a lot of input that we like. I like to listen to audiobooks. And there are times when I need to discipline myself not to. And just allow there to be some silence. Allow my brain to actually think. I've read somewhere that a meaningful silence is always better than meaningless words. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. That there are times to just sit and think about the blessings of God. Silence can also be very kind. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 12, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." And this word despiseth means to disrespect. A person that disrespects his neighbor, holding his peace, means to be silent. So a person that disrespects his neighbor is one that's going to be in his face all the time, going to be talking, never going to give them any space. It's a sign of respect to allow somebody to be silent. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to justify our words by saying, you know, they really need to hear this. They need to make sure that they get this. And so I make sure that my words go out so that they can hear. And I think we need to filter that through the filter of Christ's words. Are these words that Christ would speak? Or is it just an opinion or something that I just feel like I have to share? The Bible also talks about silence in worship. And I think this is a very important one because you have to be silent in order to hear. If I were to be trying to share this same devotional after church when everybody's having conversations and the mic was turned off, it would do nobody any good. You need to be silent in order to hear. And that applies to us with God as well. Sometimes my tendency is to bombard God. You know, I'm facing something or somebody that I know is facing something, and I want God to know about it. And so I pray without ceasing. But then I never actually stop and listen and see what God is trying to tell me and actually look for ways that maybe God is working. So remember, you need to be silent in order to hear. In Revelation 8, verse 1, it says, "When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven." In Zephaniah 1, verse 7, it says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, of the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests." In Nehemiah 8, verse 11, it says, "So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." Entering into the presence of God is a sacred thing. And that's why we do it with silence and reverence. If you think about Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal leaped around, screaming, cutting themselves with knives, making a big noise, and Elijah prayed. And which one was vindicated? In Isaiah 42:1, it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Christ came quietly. The biggest uproar came in the life of Christ came from those who were against him, those who were desiring something contrary to what Christ was teaching. And from that, I get a lesson that If I'm not right with God, silence can be terrifying. I want to fill up those spaces. I don't want Christ to talk to me. I don't want to face my own sinfulness. So I fill it. I fill those spaces with noise. But Christ offers a restful and a comfortable silence. And there's many examples in the Bible of the way that silence is used. In Joshua, when they marched around the walls of Jericho, he said, you be quiet, but here's where I'm going to change a little bit. Until the proper time, he said, then you shout. So silence is important, but there are times to speak out. And I'm sure you've all heard the saying that silence is golden, but sometimes it's just plain yellow. There are times to speak. But let's balance those out with silence. Think of Mary and Martha when she listened at the feet of Jesus, when Mary listened at the feet of Jesus, her silence enabled her to receive teaching directly from the Master. There are multiple times in Acts when it talks about preaching, it says that the people went silent. And one of my favorite examples in the Bible of this is when God spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. There was an earthquake, there was a thundering, but God spoke to Elijah in the still small voice. And I love that because it means that he was close. And we have to be close in order for God to speak to us. But silence, as important and necessary as it is, can be misused, and it can even be wrong. The Bible says in Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. So there is a time to speak. It's not all just about being quiet. When we see a baby toddling towards a campfire, you can see this sort of wave erupting from everybody sitting around. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, moms, dads, strangers driving by on the road. People come, you know, you want to protect them. But sometimes I think we are too lax when we actually see somebody stumbling toward the fire of hell. And we say, well, I don't want them to think badly of me. I don't want to wreck my relationship with them. So we don't say anything. Job said, that which I see not, teach thou me. And if I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. So we also need to be willing to hear. We need to be silent enough that we hear people talking to us if we're stumbling towards the fires of hell. And someone is brave enough to talk to us that we don't brush it off, that we don't say, just, I don't need that. It's also important that we speak in times of encouragement and comfort. It says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, talking about God, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There's another saying that I read a number of years ago. It says, harsh words hurt your feelings, but silence breaks your heart. And there is a time to be silent. Sometimes we don't know what to say, and a stumbling word can bring more damage when somebody just feels like they just have to say something than being silent. I think the difference is silence towards and silence with. When you come alongside someone and you say, here I am with you. I can't fix it. but I'm with you in it. It's the difference between that and saying, I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm afraid that, you know, I don't really know what's going on, and, you know, we just kind of back ourselves away, and the next thing you know, there's a wall, and we say, well, I didn't say the wrong thing, you know, I was silent. But that's the difference, is silence towards and silence with. Paul, in his letters, was often giving encouragement to people. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He was encouraging them. He was trying to build them up. And that's the kind of silence we don't need, is the kind that refrains from building each other up. The kind that says, be steadfast, be unmovable. Let's abound in the work of the Lord. Let's build. And also the Bible talks about undesirable silence in not worshiping. One example is in Luke 19, where Jesus said, and he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. So there are times when it's not only proper, but it's essential that we lift our voices, that we worship, that we witness, that we talk about the things God has done for us, and that we praise God for the things that he has done. So in conclusion, remember, a meaningful silence is always better than meaningless words, but meaningful words are also useful. And I think that's the key, edifying speech or edifying silence, both of those are important. And silence, with all its attendant qualities, must be tempered by the Spirit of God that bids us to speak out in his name. Let's kneel for prayer.